So this brings me to the Christmas story. Who were the three magi? You know, this to me may be one of the most important parts of the story, but it's rarely analyzed accurately. Remember that Christianity began as a wisdom school and a mystery school. And the mystery schools of the ancient world were all in communication. There was John the Baptist Mystery School, which still exists, by the way. They had to move to Iraq, and then when the U.S. invaded Iraq, some of them went to Australia, the Mandaeans. And they still have a bit of the reality of that original mystery school. But there was also the Zoroastrian mystery school, the school of the Magi. And the three Magi were three Zoroastrian priests who came to celebrate this birth of who they recognized because of the star and their astrological knowledge to be the one who has come to bring saving grace of knowledge of the mind of God, so that we can recalibrate our consciousness again and become Christ-like, you see. Christ, meaning anointed. What does it mean to be anointed? This goes back to the yogic mystery schools, the schools of the Shiva mystery, in which the Shiva lingam is anointed with not only the milk of cows, the pure fresh milk, but the ghee that comes from the milk. It's the anointment with the ghee. The ghee is the clarified butter that comes from the milk of the sacred cows, whose milk represents loving kindness, divine love. But that divine love must be refined alchemically and turned into ghee. And we must then be anointed with the ghee of this clarified, sattvic understanding of the meaning of being, the truth of being. And you remember in Sanskrit, satya is truth and sat is being. So the truth of being itself. And that being is the void, the emptiness, the zero point, beyond all thought, beyond all images. That's the level of mind that we must be in, and this is to be Christed, to become a manifestation of Christ consciousness, in which that supreme presence fills the mind, saturates you, anoints you with that clarity and coherence of the absolute consciousness. So the Zoroastrians, who recognized that a savior was going to be born, their name for that savior was Saoxiant, they came all the way to Palestine to find this being. Of course, in the story, then Herod hears about their arrival and then wants to interrogate them to say, where is this kid? I'm going to get him. You know, he's not going to replace me as the king of the Jews. I'm going to, you know, make sure I get rid of him. And of course, then the whole family, Joseph, Mary, and Yeshua, have to become expats for a while, until the Herod's death, and they hang out in Egypt. So again, a return. They left Egypt, now they have to go back, and then of course there will be another exodus from Egypt into the promised land, with the promise now fulfilled, because that consciousness of God, you could say the burning bush, is now on two legs and is able to give the light of God to the world directly. So the three magi come, meaning that there is a transmission. The Zoroastrian school is recognizing that the wisdom school of Christ is giving the same truth. It's real, it's authentic. And so they give that imprimatur of authenticity. However, the real teachings of that wisdom school were very soon banished, eliminated, all the Gnostic Gospels, including the secret revelation to John. I don't know how many of you have read it. Not the Book of Revelations, but there's another one that they found at the end of the 1800s, the secret revelation. This is the key book, actually. I'm not going to have time, because we wouldn't have a Merry Christmas, to go into all of that tonight. But But let me just say that the secrets of the coming again of God, the full revelation, would be the replacement of the phenomenal images that make up the world with the light of God filling the unformed empty void as a singularity, and eliminating the world with all of its suffering, so that that space would be clear again. The mind of God would return in its absolute purity and then redream a new creation. So, but what do these three magi represent for us psychologically? This is what I think is important. And here I'm going to allude to the work of a great French psychoanalyst named Alain Didier Weil. Most of his books haven't been translated. He's a great playwright also, but I don't think his plays have been translated into English yet. I've struggled through some of his books in Spanish translation. But he says that there are three types of superego. So remember, the superego replaced the Godhead as our true source of intelligence. And there are three types. And the Freudians tell the old joke about the psychotic who is in a mental institution, and he's delusional, and the problem is he is sure that he is a grain of wheat, and that's all he is. And a grain of wheat is pretty helpless, immobile, tamasic, you know, inert. And he is unable to therefore to think. His mind is literally stunted, stunned, stopped in its tracks, which is another meaning of being traumatized. So the psychiatrists are working with him for a long time, and finally they convince him that no, he's a man, he's not a grain of wheat. And then they feel very proud. He admits it. Yes, I'm a man. I'm not a grain of wheat. And they say, you're cured. You can leave. He goes out, and across from this rural mental institution, there's a chicken farm. And there happens to be a chicken crossing the road. If you wanted to know why the chicken crosses the road, now you know. The chicken crosses the road toward him, and suddenly he is stunned and stopped in his tracks. And then he runs back into the mental institution, begging to be taken back into his back ward bed, you know. And they say, what happened? I thought you realized that you're not a grain of wheat. And he said, yeah, I know I'm not a grain of wheat, but that chicken doesn't know it. This is category one superego. If you have a superego like this, you are stuck. If that superego tells you you're a loser, you're a piece of excrement, you are completely worthless, you will be stunned and in the belief of it, and you won't be able to remove that belief. If you're in that state, it's very difficult to then return to the mind of God and become liberated, okay? Now, some people have a category two superego. If you have a category two superego, this one will allow you to make efforts toward having some kind of fulfillment in your life, but it will insist that at the last moment you fail. Okay? You have to have a glitch. Something has to go wrong. Okay? You can't be too good, because the superego would be envious if you're too good, right? So therefore, people with category two superegos have total performance anxiety. They can't perform because that superego, who could be in anyone at any moment, is going to say, down, you fool. That was terrible, ridiculous. You're a loser. Get out of here. Go home. Go back to your mental institution. So the category two superego enables you to get up and perform, but you've got to break a leg, you see, which is why the actors have that kind of a famous aphorism before they go on stage. So If you have a category 2 superego, you're also going to have a problem in meditation. At the moment you begin to have the bliss, your mind will come back and say, you're not worthy of being a divine being. You know, get out of here, start thinking about lower chakra things again. And it's not going to let you have the unformed, empty, infinite consciousness that is your true nature. Now, if you have a category 3 superego, there is hope.